Hello.
Mr. President.
Hi, Henry. How are you?
Okay.
Fine. Well, that was an interesting evening, wasn't it?
Oh, he's a fascinating man.
Yeah. And it was interesting for all those other people to hear these, you know, hearing talk and so forth. And really hope somebody will make a mental note of the whole thing.
Yeah. I thought he was more fascinating in the afternoon than he was in the evening. But when he
Yeah, of course. Our afternoon session was more profound, actually. He's had a very interesting...
Evening was a little bit too heavy on economics, because I'm absolutely convinced...
Yeah, I know. That's the kick. That's the kick that all the libs are on, you know. Well, let's see. We can tell them we're willing, but they aren't going to... They don't want that.
Mr. President, I don't even think we should tell them they're willing.
Oh, no. We can tell the libs we're willing, but we're not going to tell Mao that. Hell no, because he ain't going to ask. Right, and I don't think he's going to ask through a second liner either.
He's going to ask through a fourth liner.
Right.
The reason he wants to see you is because you're the only world figure right now.
Incidentally, he said a very interesting thing at the end of the evening as I was at the car, and I want you to get the translator to see if he can recall it. Give it to you. He probably can. He didn't write it, but he said... before he got into the car, he said, "I am not General de Gaulle." But he says, "If I were General de Gaulle, I believe I would say that words to this effect, that your trip can change the whole future of the world. I wish you well."
I completely agree with
him. It was a very, I don't know whether I didn't get it. He said something in more detail than that, but that was the sense of it. But if you could be sure the translator sees it, he can try to remember that part. That was the most significant thing he said. I thought that was a very nice touch, wasn't it, though?
Absolutely.
I think he was kind of moved by the evening himself, too, you know, and the afternoon.
Well, particularly, they told me that he was tremendously moved by your talk.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
I think the difference between the Moscow and the Peking summit is the difference he described between Nehru and Mao.
Oh, wasn't that brilliant? Incidentally, I was leading him on there because I'd read his stuff on Nehru. And he described Nehru as a rather cynical politician, you know?
That's right. In Moscow, we'll do policy, and that will be very successful on that level.
Yeah.
But in Peking, we can make history.
Right.
If we hit the right course.
I felt it was important to give him, though, a little feeling of, I was trying to do that, that we, too, have sort of a sense of the mystery and the mystique, you know, the whole feeling of, you know, of
that
that after all, maybe none of the modern American leaders, but Lincoln had that feeling, and people thought
I
he
thought
had.
That was very powerful.
Because, you see, the French are greatly moved by mystique. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And so are the, as a matter of fact, so are the Chinese.
Are they really?
Oh, yeah. You know, when I left Peking on my first trip, I was taken to the airport by this marshal who's now on the 3 miles.
Yeah.
And he said, as we were driving into the airport, he said, "You know, when I joined Mao, I had heard of a teacher who was in the mountains. You have to remember, Mao is not a military man.
Yeah,
he's a teacher."
Yeah.
And we never thought we were doing anything for this generation, but for many generations in the future. And he said, "And yet here you are, and here we are."
Yeah.
And that's the attitude of the chair. So to them, this is a tremendous thing that the president is coming to see them.
I think it is.
And
we've got to play it that way with great dignity and no abrasiveness, but great confidence.
With inward strength, but with a sense of a world that has to be built.
This is one of the things I really don't think that, with all of our, you know, deference to them, that fellows like Agnew or even Connolly could handle. I think this is one thing. I understand it, but it isn't my experience, but I think I once said to, when I lived in the West and went to school with Chinese, I'm a little more Chinese than many Americans.
Well,
that's really true, you know.
Well, it's important, though, that one has set oneself big goals and has known some tragedies one has to deal with people.
Because they have dealt with tragedies, too.
They have dealt with tragedies.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that Boy, I'm telling you, you ought to feel pretty good about this day. After all your damn suffering and those son of a bitching trips, why, you and I know something that none of those other fellows knew.
That's right.
No, keep it closed.
At least it's
yeah, well.
That it could be done. But I agree with what Monroe said to you.
Well, he didn't say it quite that way. He said it better. But that was the, I think, what, and if you get the translator, if he will give you what.
I'll get it from the translator.
And see if I can have it, because I think he was trying to say something. We'll never see him again. He won't live much longer.
I think he is going to be dead.
Oh, God, he is. You know, he gets hung up on the economic thing. But on the other hand, wasn't it interesting where he said, Senator Kennedy said that, and he misinterpreted it. It was a social luncheon.
He said only a defendant could.
Yeah, and then he said it was a social luncheon, and I was simply saying that looking at the situation, this is the poorest country, most populous, and this is the richest country, so this is the natural way they should get together. Looking to the future, that may happen, but it ain't going to happen on this trip.
The reason they're doing this is because they're the most threatened country in the world.
They're scared to death.
Dealing with the most powerful
there. You know, the one question we didn't really get an answer from him is why he believes the Chinese wanted this.
Oh, he thinks it's because they are in a phase of capital construction and because they think they can get it only from us.
I know, and I think that's wrong.
Totally wrong. They're doing it for...
See, that's the typical attitude of basically a Marxist.
That's right.
But not the...
One, because they feel threatened. Second, because they do want to solidify their rule and get themselves some legitimacy, and only you can do that.
And he hit that point that he had when he made the 3 points that Mao wanted to have before he died, that China must be united, of course, that's Taiwan. Second point, China should be a great nation, respected, and third, economic progress, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's good. I think they were going to do it on their own. Maybe further down the road, but that's relatively the easiest one.
We will, you can be sure, we won't raise it.
No.
That's up to them.
And now they won't do it. There's no confusion. Maybe in the second or third round. But I do believe that this can go down and improve that it's better to them.
Don't you think having him over was a good idea? It's good to have Smith there. He's not going. He's going to Moscow, but not here. And he's a nice man, isn't he? Smith. Gentle guy, very kind.
All
right. Well, get a good sleep. You deserve it.